Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. I don't know. I started the topic last time, and we got cut off in about 5 minutes. And I'm not going to even go back and where I left off. I'm just going to start right away reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And that will be our topic for today. And we'll chant japa as we normally do. And I have an announcement, but I'll make it at the end of our session today. So we're reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 3. Text, I'm not sure, I think it's 166. I'll do 165, I'll just read it, and then we'll start with 166. Because Nam Sankirtan invariably leads to the treasure of pure love for the Lord, true connoisseurs of devotional service. Well, I remember what I was speaking about last time. Why I don't. Generally, whenever I begin to speak anywhere, I always offer my pranams. Om Gyanatimurandasya Mukham Kuroti Vachalam. Offer my pranam to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and Hare Chan Hare Krishna. And when I started these sessions, whatever it was that we started at the end of March, I never had any intention of giving classes. And I never even had any intention of really speaking so long, except maybe just to speak for like 5 or 10 minutes. And it was like that right at the very beginning. So I started off not offering pranams because the pranams would be longer than my talk. So that was my intention. And then as days progressed, I was still planning on following through with that concept of not speaking very long and dedicating most of the time for japa, which was my original intention for actually having these sessions, was just mostly chanting japa. So I restrained myself also, because then I started to think, as soon as I start chanting the pranam mantras and everything, then I'll have to give a talk, because otherwise, why am I chanting them? And then not only that, I was thinking, others would probably expect me to give a talk. And already a week had passed, and these thoughts were still going through my mind. So I just thought I'd keep it open by not beginning these japa sessions by chanting prana mantras, because I wanted to keep it open for predominantly chanting japa together. That became my rationale, and somehow I stuck with it. And I'm really regretting now, because I've been giving classes predominantly and less japa. And I never in 40 years, I can't remember beginning a class without first chanting mantras. All right, so I'm going to do it today, just so I can say that I did it. And maybe I put things into motion. Om Gyana Timurandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chakshur Omulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Mangayate Garim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pascha Chade Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaiti Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are some devotees who chant much longer than I do, but I'll leave it at that. Text, 165. Because Nam Sankirtan invariably leads to the treasure of pure love for the Lord, true connoisseurs of devotional service consider Nam Sankirtan the very the real sign of a person full of prema is this. As he performs Sankirtan of the name he worships, the full force of spiritual agony erupts in him by the weight of his own love. Commentary. Other expert Vaishnavas consider Sankirtan and prema to be altogether the same. They are mutually the cause of one another and therefore non-different. Text 167. Like the distressed crying of the Chataka birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or the lamenting of a flock of Chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night, the Sankirtan of the Lord's names arises when one is burdened by too much pain. Commentary. Nam Sankirtan, in fact, appears only when prema has been enhanced in a special way. Prema, enriched with transcendental hankering, results in Sankirtan. To help us understand the Vaikuntha Dutas mentioned by way of analogy, the Chataka and Chakravaki birds. The plaintive call of the Chatakas, sounding like Priya Priya, my dear one, resounds on cloudless days of the rainy season. And lament of the Chakravakis fills the sky when their husbands are absent at night. In such a way, Nam Sankirtan arises when one feels separation from the Lord in pure love of God. The true way of doing Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan is to call out to one's beloved Lord in agony, expressing one's feelings in various sweet songs to attract, as the philosophical maxim states, Siddhasya Lakshanam Yat Syat Sadhanam Sadakasya Tat. The practitioner and the means of practice should be in accord with their goal. There's a lot I could say. I spoke a little bit on this topic yesterday because yesterday I was just reading some quotes from Srila Prabhupada to the devotees in East Europe. And the one quote that we had yesterday, Prabhupada was asking a question about crying while chanting. Prabhupada explained that that this feelings of separation will naturally arise. And when there is feelings of separation, there also leads to tears. And he was telling the devotee that he was writing to that it is an advanced stage that will come to the devotee in due course of time. He should simply go on chanting. Prabhupada gave a very simple explanation. It was a letter that was written in 1968. And certainly, Prabhupada's main part of his response was the devotee was seemed to be asking a question about what is it about crying when chanting. And Prabhupada gave that answer. Yes, it's an advanced stage of feelings of separation. So because we had that, I was going to read this 2 days ago, I spoke a little bit about it yesterday to the devotees. I'll speak a little bit about it today. Although, as I also said yesterday, that such feelings of separation, especially the word is which is used here, two words that are used here, one is agony and the other is pain. And when one hears about the nature of agony and pain and equates that with the experience of the highest bliss, it's sometimes not something that's so easy to comprehend. And as I was explaining yesterday also, that there are references in Shastra and even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that these experiences and descriptions of feelings of separation and pain are something that cannot really be fully explained in words, and that they can only be really experienced. And in fact, I mentioned that yesterday, and I decided to look up the verse where it's mentioned it's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but it's in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's in the story of Narada Muni's quest to find the devotees who were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And I'll read the verse, because if I don't read the verse, I'm afraid I might not get to it. So I want to read the verse at first, and then I'll give a little bit of the background to the verse. And this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, 7th chapter, verses 124 to 126. I do have to give the background. It's Krishna, Krishna speaking to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, in the 7th chapter, Narada Muni was extremely reticent, although Krishna was encouraging him to come. Where is he? Krishna had just returned from Nava Vrindavan, where he was brought on the back of Garuda with Balaram. He was brought there to revive him, because what happened is when they were previously in Dwarka, and when Narada Muni approached Uddhava, expressing to Uddhava that, "I know who you are. You are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy." And Uddhava and Narada Muni experienced ecstasy. Uddhava was experiencing ecstasy, but Uddhava in his ecstasy also fully understood that, "I used to think that I was exalted, but having come from and having seen the residents of Vrindavan, having gone there and personally witnessed the mercy which was manifest in the hearts of the exalted devotees like Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda, and what to speak of what he saw when he went as a messenger on behalf of Krishna and began to speak Krishna's message to the gopis, and what he saw, the ecstasies that they were experiencing in their intense separation, Uddhava understood that after being exposed in that way, that I can't accept what you're saying, Narada." And he had to, a discussion then began to ensue about the residents of Vrindavan and the suffering, the intense suffering they were experiencing in separation from Krishna. And while describing their intense suffering, that conversation was taking place on a particular morning in Dwarka, where Krishna was inside the palace in his room, and outside his room was Rukmini, Satyabhama, Rohini, and Uddhava, and Narada Muni, and Padmavati, and there was a discussion about Vrindavan and the devotees in Vrindavan. To go into all the details of the discussion will somewhat divert us, but nonetheless, what happened was they were having this discussion while Krishna was inside, and for some reason that morning, Krishna didn't come out of his room, and it was disclosed that he was lying in bed and he was crying. And they were started to project and discuss about the nature of the devotees of Braj. And when the conversation continued about the devotees of Vrindavan, gradually in due course of time, Krishna heard the discussion and he came out. And the discussion continued. Balaram then began speaking to Krishna about the kind of pain that he had subjected the residents of Vrindavan to and how much they were suffering. And Balaram said, look, I spent quite some time there, and the only thing that will relieve their suffering is you have to go back. They're suffering. And then Krishna was confessing that, well, I know that if I go back, then going back is actually really not going to relieve their suffering, because even in my presence, they're always suffering because they're thinking that I might go away again, and that causes them so much suffering. And therefore, I'm not sure if I can ever go back, because I don't want to inflict that kind of suffering on them by going back. And this conversation was just going on amongst them. And then what happened is that Krishna was also suffering intensely because of his separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And because of, he started crying and he fell on the floor of the palace outside the room, and Balaram started crying, and everyone else started crying, and Balaram and Krishna went completely into the state of, they lost external consciousness on the ground, and then on the floor, excuse me, of the palace. And then they had to devise a scheme of how to bring Krishna back. So then they devised a scheme that the best thing to do is, they called Garuda to come, and they put Balaram came back to external consciousness, and at some point in time, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they got Krishna on the back of Garuda. They took him to Nava Vrindavan. Nava Vrindavan was a place that was created by Vishwakarma, and Vishwakarma had very wonderfully created perfect replicas of the residents of Vrindavan. Mother Jasoda was there, and the cowherd boys were there, and the gopis were there. And when Krishna was brought there in the back of Garuda, gradually he came to external consciousness. And then Krishna saw the replicas, and he thought they were his dearly beloved associates that he was crying for. And then he was thinking, boy, and he saw Mother Jasoda, and he was, Mother Jasoda, he confessed to Mother Jasoda. First he saw Nanda Maharaj prostrated himself before his father, you know, as he's supposed to do, beg forgiveness for sleeping late. And then he started describing about, he had a terrible dream, and in his dream, he described what was going through his dream, and he said, well, it was just a bad dream, that I was dreaming that I was separated from all of you, and then I was in Dwarka, and I was surrounded by these palaces and princesses, and everyone, not only that, but as Krishna is speaking to Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj, then also hiding behind the trees were all the residents of Dwarka, the queens who had come, and Narada Muni, he was afraid to come too close because he was thinking that he instigated this, because he's the one who started the discussion in the first place about the persons who are the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And it all he felt like he was the instigator, so he felt he better keep his distance. So he was sitting in the sky, in his yogic posture, and he was just observing all of this going on, and everyone else was watching how Krishna was interacting with the residents in Vrindavan, and they were realizing how much separation Krishna's feeling from these devotees. And not only that, but these devotees have the unique quality to induce Krishna to manifest such feelings towards them, even when he's with us. And they then began to realize the glories of the residents of Vrindavan. So then Krishna was speaking to Nanda Maharaj, and then he started speaking to Mother Yasoda, and then I guess he was thinking it was time to go to the pasturing grounds with his cowherd boyfriends and the calves, and they were also there in perfect replicas. And then Rohini, who came there, and she knows very well the workings of Vrindavan, she said, "Why don't you go?" Because she was thinking that Krishna won't leave to go off to the pasturing ground until he gets his lunch from Mother Yasoda. So Rohini's made the suggestion, and she said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it," because she realized that Yasoda's not going to, it's just a replica. She's not going to cook. So I'll take care of it. And then it was enough to convince Krishna to begin to go off to the pasturing grounds with the cowherd boys and the calves. But before he went, Vishwakarma, who was very expert, he knew that Krishna likes to take bother from Mother Yasoda. So he went over to the replica of Mother Yasoda, and Vishwakarma had placed a little butter in her hand, and Krishna just snuck his hand over into her hand, and there was the butter, took out the butter from her hand, and they began leaving with the cowherd boys. And of course, as he's leaving with the cowherd boys, as Krishna's leaving all the time to go out to the pasturing grounds, but who's there but the gopis? And then when Krishna saw Radharani in the presence manifested there, and saw Radharani there, he was thinking, she must be disturbed. Maybe she must know what I was dreaming about in my dream. And he said, "Don't worry, we'll meet later." He took some flower petals and he threw the flower petals over the replica of Radharani. He turned around and he looked to see if anybody was looking. He gave her a little kiss, and then he just continued on with his cowherd boyfriends. And then he went on to the banks of the Yamuna, and he thought he was coming to the banks of the Yamuna. And then what happened was that it was actually not the Yamuna, it was Dwarka, so it was the ocean. And he saw the vast ocean, and then he started to, "What is this?" He says, "Well, is this the Yamuna?" And then he stopped and he said, "Wait a minute. Where am I?" And then he says, "Who am I?" Because he was so bewildered in his ecstasy of separation for the devotees. And then Balaram immediately knew that, okay, Krishna's back to normal. And now we have to bring Krishna back to and remind them of where he's supposed to go back to Dwarka and what he was doing in Dwarka. And he reminded them of his responsibilities he had towards Yudhishthira Maharaj and how he had responsibility to the residents of Dwarka. And Krishna came back to his awareness of his divinity in Dwarka. And then they decided to go back to Dwarka. And then when they went back to Dwarka, then everyone else who accompanied them to Nava Vrindavan, they went back there. And then what happened was another discussion ensued. And Everyone was there. Rukmini was there, except Satyabhama. Satyabhama wasn't there, and Krishna called Satyabhama. Satyabhama came, and Krishna then began speaking to Satyabhama and began telling Satyabhama about making her, in essence, making her jealous, where he was actually describing that these devotees, they're the most exceptional devotees. I'm always thinking about them under all circumstances. Wherever I am, I never forget them because of their exceptional love that they have and because of their intense feelings of separation and knowing that unless I reciprocate that love, that they could potentially die. They could potentially die. And he's explaining all this to the Satyabhama. And then after explaining it to Satyabhama, then what happens? I've cut this short, but then what happens is Narada Muni's outside the room and he doesn't want to go in the room because he's feeling like he was the catalyst that started this whole scenario in the first place that put Krishna into so much pain of separation. And then Krishna insisted, no, tell Narada Muni he must come in. And he wanted to express his gratitude to Narada Muni for what Narada Muni had done by invoking remembrance of these devotees in him. So this is the verse. That's the background. And this is that was the background to this verse and two more verses which describe these feelings of pain and separation. It's Krishna speaking to Narada Muni. First, the Supreme Lord said, Narada, my dearest friend, you are always eager to please me, and you are the best of those who relish transcendental emotions. You have now done me a great favor. Short commentary. What you have done here is not offensive. Krishna implies those who know the transcendental tastes of my devotional service behave like this naturally. You have no reason to feel ashamed. Next verse. It is true that when one is parted from those one loves, pure love makes one suffer within as if from a blazing fire. The burning pain creates a remorse that further deepens into irrepressible sorrow. Thus, one at first seems wretched. Commentary. Narada may agree that he need not be embarrassed for unavoidably losing control amidst the ecstasies of Bhagavad Bhakti. Yet he had caused Krishna great distress by sending the Lord into a bewildered trance of remembering his devotees in Vrindavan. In other words, Narada was feeling guilty for bringing distress to Krishna. In this verse and the next, Krishna therefore tries to convince Narada that he need not blame himself. The misery of transcendental separation is only apparent. Even while outwardly showing many symptoms of mental pain, a person feeling viraha bhav is absorbed in incomparable bliss. Thus, the apparently wretched devotee is actually most fortunate. Whatever momentary distress he may feel will soon give way to complete happiness. And then the verse which I wanted to read. But this anguish of separation is praised as greater than the happiness of enjoying with those one loves. Separation is so pleasing to the mind that it cannot be described. It always transforms at last into an abundance of pleasure. Only experts in tasting these moods can understand how this happens. commentary. The so-called bliss of merging into the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth is often said to be indescribable, but the bliss of pure prema is even harder to describe. And most hard to describe is the inconceivable ecstasy of transcendental love in separation, which is born in pain, but grows into the greatest possible treasure. Excuse me, greatest possible pleasure. The ecstasy of separation is not the miserable experience it seems to outsiders. It is manorama, the cause of full satisfaction for the heart. If someone still asks how one can feel happy within misery, he should know that only the rasikas, those who have spontaneous eagerness to taste this prema, can understand it. So this was one of the verses I was thinking of yesterday when I read this verse, which we just read from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that it's not something that can be so easily understood, because how does pain, agony, suffering, how is that translated into the highest ecstasy? Sanatana Goswami does give some analogies, because these verses, much more in that section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I only touched on them. There's many more verses that explain the nature of the how agony and pain is bliss, and also Sanatana Goswami explains that this the agony and pain of such separation for the devotees who are feeling it, they're not only feeling separation, but they're actually Krishna's fully manifest to them in those feelings of separation. So it's not separation at all. And that's, you know, and we were also talking a little bit about yesterday, we were talking about the for instance, the Sankirtan of the Gopis. In the Gopi Gita, how when Krishna left the Gopis from the Rasa dance, and the gopis began their sankirtan, their kirtan, in separation. Because the whole Gopi Gita is their sankirtan. And they were, as they were reciting these verses to Krishna, they were feeling the greatest separation. And Krishna was, the whole time, of course, Krishna was not very far to the gopis. He was always nearby. And even when he returned, he told them, I was always nearby. I was simply watching you, because Krishna will never leave the devotee who chants in such a mood. He's always with that devotee. He won't leave that devotee. Even though the devotee is feeling separated, there's no separation, because Krishna can't leave them because of the intensity of their love. And that's why Krishna, in essence, can never even leave Vrindavan. He doesn't really step a foot out of Vrindavan. He only appears to step out of Vrindavan, but he can't leave his devotees. That's a whole subject in itself. But the essence is that pain of separation the devotee feels is the highest ecstatic pleasure of love of Godhead, even though externally to an outsider it looks like pain. But it's not. And Sanatana Goswami gives an analogy about, you know, when ice, you touch ice, it appears, first appears to be very hot, but ice is cold. And he says, in the same way, these feelings of separation may appear to be burning. And even that this is used very very often, that the feelings of separation at first feels like an intense burning. And even the analogy that is used is like putting water into burning oil. And that's how the devotee feels when these feelings of separation are manifesting in his heart. But it's intense ecstasy. And it's the highest pleasure. I'm not going to go on to describe it, because as Sanatana Goswami says, to describe it is sometimes, it's very difficult to put into words, and what to speak of to understand it is difficult for those unless they can experience it. But by hearing about this ecstatic love, which even the Lord himself feels towards his devotees, as described in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, by hearing about it, it can awaken, purifies the heart, and awakens a desire within the heart, an attraction. And that's the whole message, actually, that the Vaikuntha Dutas are giving to Gopakumara, that yes, you go ahead and chant your names, chant these names, but chant them not out of duty, but in ecstatic love. And then when Gopakumara, this describes when he returns to Mathura, to Gokul, what he does first is he hears these most confidential descriptions and narrations of the Bhagavatam. He hears them. And then when he, by hearing those confidential narrations of the Bhagavatam, when included within his chanting, then it awakens with him the ecstatic, spontaneous Prem Nam Sankirtan, which is filled not only of the ecstasy of chanting the holy names of the Lord, but full remembrance of these pastimes and full meditation upon the Lord. They all become manifest. So this is, of course, the benefit of reading such descriptions as given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that they're meant to enhance and to help us enter into a more deeper mood in the course of our chanting. And that's why, what is it, that verse we quoted, Kaviraj Goswami, when he was speaking about Rupa Goswami's verse that Haridas Thakur heard when Rupa Goswami composed that verse about the holy name of the Lord, and Haridas Thakur went into complete ecstasy upon hearing the verse that Rupa Goswami composed. Then Kaviraj Goswami says that one has to learn about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy names by hearing the revealed scriptures from Vaishnavas. And this is by hearing the revealed scriptures from Vaishnavas, and this is what enhances and enables us to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. And therefore, they complement each other, as in all the nine processes of devotional service. One is hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, and remembering the glories of the Lord. All nine of these processes of devotional service, ultimately, when one, two, three, or all nine, they can actually awaken ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anyways, I think I drifted a little bit, but the verse that we just read, I just want to read a little bit more, and because the verse is about the Chatuka birds. And we read this also, we spoke about this yesterday. What are the Chatuka birds? Now the Chatuka birds are birds who take rainwater only from clouds. They don't go anywhere else for their water. There may be ponds, there may be rivers, there may be lakes, but the Chatuka bird is exclusively dependent upon the cloud for water. And the example which is given here in this verse, that the plaintive call of the Chatukas sounding like Priya, Priya, my dear one, my dear one, resounds on cloudless days of the rainy season. Can you hear me? Yes, yes. This is the first time this ever happened, that the internet went down and came back up again. And first time. Usually it goes down and stays down for at least maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. But there's a reason, and I'll get to the reason, which is my announcement. But first let me read the verse about the Chatuka birds. And then hopefully it'll stay up long enough for my announcement. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chatuka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. So this verse is Rupa Goswami, as we said, it's the nature of the Chatuka bird, which is just represents like the devotee who's exclusively dependent on Krishna's mercy. Exclusively. Just as the Chatuka bird will not go anywhere else for water, even though water may be there. The Chatuka bird flies in the sky with its beak upwards, waiting for the water to come from the cloud. Even on a cloudless day, the Chatuka bird is calling out, Priya, Priya, oh my dear one, my dear one. In feelings of separation, where are you? I know no one but you who can satisfy my needs. And therefore, this is the mood of a devotee. And the devotee is maybe experiencing separation from Krishna. He's not there. He can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He can deal with me as he wishes, but exclusively I'm dependent on him and no one else for mercy. Just as the Chatuka bird is fully dependent upon the cloud. So, and then of course, if the cloud is not present, then the Chatuka bird is feeling great separation from the cloud, just as the devotee who's feeling separation from Krishna is calling out to Krishna, please, O Krishna, I'm simply dependent upon your mercy. Do with me as you wish. And if we see in the prayers of many devotees, in fact, I seem to recall there was one, I won't be able to find it, but it was one prayer that Prabhupada had spontaneously spoken in a lecture that we spoke from many weeks ago, where Prabhupada was saying that at the time of the end of one's life, he says the devotee prays to Krishna, oh dear Lord, I've simply done what I could have done. I know it's inadequate, but now it is your decision. You do with me as you wish to do. And that was the mood of the prayer. And that's a similar mood, which is the mood of the devotee, that I've tried to serve you in a particular way, and my service is always inadequate. And of course, this is the mood of the devotees in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The devotees always feel that they don't have sufficient service to the Lord. They don't do sufficient service to the Lord. They don't have sufficient love to the Lord. And they're not actually qualified for mercy from the Lord. And in this way, they are always pointing to a devotee who is a greater recipient of mercy, just as Uddhava understood when he was glorified by Narada Muni that, yes, I used to think that way about myself, but now that I've been to Vrindavan, I can tell you there are devotees who are much greater recipients. And not only that, that when I was there, I realized that they're such great recipients of that mercy that I pray that may I simply become a blade of grass so that I can get the dust on my head. And that was his mood. And therefore, this is the nature of the devotees. And Narada obviously then therefore realized that the devotees in Vrindavan, especially the gopis, were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy because of their intense love that they had for him and he had for them. And anyways, such as the Chatuka bird. And not only that, the Chatuka bird is described in this prayer. The Chatuka bird is also praying that whether you rain, give me rain, or you give me thunderbolt. Rain or thunderbolt, doesn't matter. Still I have to turn to you because there's nowhere else I can go. This again is the mood of the devotee. Not so much describing the separation of the devotee, but the exclusive dependence of the devotee in this Chatuka bird. So this verse describes the Chatuka bird and Chakravaki. What is it? I'm sorry, I lost my place. Yeah, Chakravaki birds. When the Chakravaki birds, when they're parted from their husband at night, it's actually described the Chakravaki birds and the wife of the, I think the husband, I thought it was Chakravak, but I think it's Chakra birds. It's a Chakra bird, is the husband. And at night, they tend to be separated from each other. And when they're separated from each other, these birds, you can hear them at night. Generally, birds, you hear them in the morning, but the Chakravaki and the Chakra birds at night, you hear very mournful calls to each other, looking for each other, having been separated from each other at night. So this is also given as another analogy of the feelings of separation. And in fact, there's another verse I had yesterday. What was it? It was Queens of Dwarka. Poor Chakravaki, even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that, like us, you have become the servant of Achyuta and hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his feet? So that was a verse also in the Bhagavatam about the Chakravaki birds. Anyways, this is a little bit about a mood of separation, which is described here in this verse by the Vaikuntha Dutas. I'm going to read the verse again. Like the distressed crying of the Chatuka birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or lamenting of a flock of Chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night, the Sankirtan of the Lord's names arises when one is burdened by too much pain. We can chant some japa, and then at the end of japa, if the internet is still connected, I would like to make a short announcement. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare. There's a lot I could say about the topics tonight. I was thinking about how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan and how this is also very nicely described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'll let you dive into it yourselves and read it. It's a very nice description. This is given of how Krishna apparently leaves. And it seems to happen again and again that Krishna leaves to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. In Goloka, in Gokula, it appears that he leaves and he goes to Mathura. But in Goloka, he does it again and again and again and again and again just to serve the moment. But he actually never leaves. Because, anyways, it's a very nice description of that in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How Krishna only appears to leave and induces that feeling of separation in the hearts of his devotees. There's different types of separation. First is purvarag, and then there is another type of separation is called prem vaichitya. Man is another type of separation. Man sometimes in anger, when Radharani is feeling anger, then in her anger, she feels great separation from Krishna. Then there's prem vaichitya. Prem vaichitya is when one is in the presence of the Lord, but being in the presence of the Lord, one feels great separation from the Lord. It's like there's a very nice pastime. That is that when the Maru Mangal entered into the place where Krishna, Radha and Krishna were seated, and then there was a bee that was there, and Madhu chased the bee out. Maru Mangal chased the bee out. And then he told, Madhu is gone, Madhu is gone. And then Radharani was thinking, Madhu is gone. She's thinking that was Krishna was gone. And she was looking at Krishna's eyes, and she only saw her reflection in Krishna's eyes. She didn't see Krishna. She just saw her reflection. So although she was right next to Krishna, looking in Krishna's eyes, she was feeling great separation from Krishna, although right next to him. That's prem vaichitya. Example. There's another example of prem vaichitya, but many examples. And the other is pravas. Pravas is when Krishna is actually away at a distance, like when Krishna goes out to the pasturing grounds during the day. And that's one of my favorite paintings is in the Boston Temple. It shows Mother Jasoda standing with her arms outstretched, and she's Dira shaking his head. He remembers that painting. Krishna's coming back from the pasturing grounds because they spent the whole day in great separation from Krishna. Mother Jasoda is there reaching out, waiting to embrace Krishna. And not only that, but it's nicely described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What happens when Krishna is leaving? Mother Jasoda doesn't want Krishna to leave. And then she makes so many different excuses. While Krishna is leaving to go to the pasturing grounds, she comes and she fixes his clothes very nicely. And then she walks back. And then Krishna is standing there with his friends. And then she comes out and she gives him some food. And then goes back, and then she comes back again and she tells Krishna's friends, you know, please take care of Krishna. You should stay on the side and protect him. And then she goes, and she's just using all these as an excuse so that Krishna won't leave. And finally, Krishna, he just gets down and prostrates himself before Mother Jasoda's feet and says, Mata, please go home. He wants to leave with his friends. And then she goes back and she stands there. And she stands there watching Krishna as he's leaving, going to the pasturing grounds. And she's standing there and it's described that she just looks like a cow who's feeling great separation from her calf. And the other analogy is given, she looks like a painted picture. She's not moving, just watching each step as Krishna's leaving because of the separation she's feeling as so when Krishna is leaving separation, and when he's gone, this is pravas. But pravas, there's different types of pravas. Pravas is when he's gone for a short time, like during the day, and then there's, I think it's called kinshit sadula pravas. Is when Krishna goes to Dwarka, goes to Mathura, excuse me, goes to Mathura. And then when he goes to Mathura, then great distance, great separation. So these are all described. A lot of it is described. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is just it's just filled with so much nectar. Okay, I have an announcement. And I'm going to come out and say it. I'm in pain, but not separation. So, and I'm dealing with it every day, and I've been doing what I've been supposed to be doing, and trying my best to stick to. Although I've been sitting here for over an hour, and I'm not supposed to sit longer than a half hour, and I'm consulting somebody else here who might be able to help, and well, I'm going to see, test it tomorrow. And but I really am being pushed from certain sectors to not do these classes every day, as I have been doing. And I decided that I'm going to take one more week. So please forgive me. I feel that if I can really just do the needful, I find myself having to lie down a lot during the day, and it's not the best position to be in. But having one less thing to do, where I'm obliged to do, and especially to sit like I am, I'm going to spend one more week, and I'll return next Tuesday. I think it's the 16th. Today's the 9th. Today's the 9th. 16th. I'll return next Tuesday. And forgive me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next week, next Tuesday. I keep on using this word, resume our sessions. It's play on words. We'll resume next Tuesday. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.